Tomorrow, like I said, we'll be going to Africa. We'll be in Lusaka, in the eastern part of Zambia, and in Pretoria. And if I get the energy for it, in Cape Town. Here's the thing. Whether you understand it or not, whether your heart is into it or not, things are happening elsewhere. And being in Africa this time around, we'll be ordaining about 60 new pastors. So if you've been keeping up, that's about maybe 260 churches we are running. Now, the issue or the challenges. I feel like a general who is taking enemy grounds very quick and very fast than the supply lines can keep up with. Anybody knows what kind of a problem that is? So it gets to a point where we got to make a choice. We pull back and wait for the supply lines, which might never get there. Or just put all our chips in and keep going. I think I'm putting all my chips in and I'm keeping going. So it is up to you guys whether you want to pull your socks up, pull up, and keep up. Because in my life, I've never seen a time and opportunity where it was that open and that much ready for harvesting. Jesus said 2,000 years ago, the fields are white. The fields are ripe. So what's been the issue about the churches aren't growing, nothing is happening? Are we seeing the same thing as Jesus was seeing? Probably we are, but we just don't have the same passion and priorities as he does. Because if we had the same passion and priority as he does, there's absolutely no way we can miss the fields that are that ripe. So, usually when you say 200 and whatever churches, bring it in context, you're looking about 40,000 people. That is impressive. But Africa has a population of 1.2 billion people. So you're hardly scratching the surface. So that is putting things into context. How are we feeling like we are scratching the surface if we are talking about 1.2 million people? So in the grand scheme of things, 40,000 people isn't even pocket change. Does that make sense? And what it is that God has invited us to be a part of this. I don't know about you. He's invited me to be a part of this. But since I'm part of this community, he's invited us to be a part of this. But like I was sharing on Friday, we got to be a people that will learn to live for something greater than ourselves. We got to learn to live for something greater than ourselves. Because if we live for ourselves, our life becomes very puny. Our lives become inward focused. Our life become about us. Our lives become about what we can get, what we can have, what we can achieve, and how far we can go, and what we can do. I was saying on Friday that there is something within every one of us to want to do something big, to want to do something great, because that is something that is inbuilt within who we are. Because we were, each one of us, built for something greater. We are, each one of us, born for something far bigger and far greater. And whenever our lives are living and in a mediocre existence that does not reach up to the greatness we are born for, we feel an emptiness and an easiness and an itch within us that can never be scratched away. It is because we all realize that that's why we value setting world records, because we want to do something grand and bigger, something nobody has ever done. And it gives us a sense of connecting with a greater purpose in us. We talked about how many people every year go and climb the Mount Everest, which is 8,848 meters long. That is about nearly 30,000 high. Long, high. That is about 30,000 feet high. Now, why somebody would choose to take their time to go do that? And you know, up to now, about 290 people, nearly 300 people, have died attempting to climb the mountain. And the higher you go, the air is becoming thinner and thinner. You're getting oxygen depleted, your brain is starving, and you go unconscious and die. But if you get up to the top, you come back saying, I climbed the mountain. There is a sense of you did something greater than yourself. We do all these sporting, torturous things, because by the end of the day, there's a greater sense of you did something. There's nothing wrong in that, because we're created for something far bigger and far greater. And in talking about more than nearly 300 people have died trying to climb the mountain, I was saying one guy that died and became a world focus was David Sharp. He was going up the mountain and he was struggling. People were going up the mountain, not helping him. And those ones that are coming down from the mountain, not helping him. So everybody could clearly see somebody is struggling to a point where he died. But the thing is, every one of them was so focused about achieving a greater goal at the expense of care, love, and compassion. See, when we become so consumed with achieving something for ourselves, we become blind to the most obvious things that we should be paying attention to. How could that many people walk past somebody who's dead and dying and not think about helping? Because we think, if I stop to help, I'm going to lose time in setting the record. I'm going to lose time in achieving the goal. We can be like that many times. I shared Luke chapter 8, verse 35. from the Passion Translation. Nearly there. Did I say I'm nearly there? Okay, then I'm here. Sharia Kasandari. What book are we in? Is that what I said? What did I read on Friday? Those of you that were here. Mark, not Luke. Sorry? Some help. Sharia Kasandaria Mama. What does it say? That was it. Okay, so we're saying, for if you let your life go for my sake, and for the sake of the gospel, you continually experience true life. Okay, when do you get to experience true life? When you let your life go for my sake and for the sake of the gospel. Okay, meaning the sole existence of your life has to be for him and the gospel. If your life does not revolve around his life and the gospel, you are not living for something greater than yourself you were born for. Right? If your life is not spent, given out, poured out, surrendered to him and the gospel, you have not experienced true life yet. Because real life begins when we surrender utterly, totally, and completely to him. So the whole essence and meaning of your life was to live for him. And if you live for yourself, you don't come to explain place of experiencing true life. Okay? John 10:10, he says, he came that you may have life and have life abundantly. So the abundance of life is found in your life spent. Your life surrendered, your life given away. So really what comes down to is, if you are not living for the gospel, what are you living for? Okay, so that means you are living for yourself. Now here's a trick. What is going to give you a sense of inner peace and fulfillment is when you live your life for him. So for as long as you live life for yourself, you always have inner emptiness and you never come to a place of experiencing true inner peace. Okay? And the lack of inner peace brings anxiety, brings depression and all sorts of things that we struggle with. So what it works down by the end of the day is, Our anxiety is a symptom that we are not living our lives surrendered for something greater than ourselves. Is that a simple truth that makes us uncomfortable? So when we are not living for something greater than ourselves, we begin to look something to fulfill the gap in us. And that's what has created a perfect picture of professional church hoppers. Because they are looking for something. Now, the thing about that is it doesn't matter where you go, for as long as what you are needing to bring an inner fulfillment in your heart is living for something greater than yourself. Does that make sense? You may come to this church if you're looking to get and to receive. It will always be inadequate because what we are looking for is something that no man can give. Your life thrives when it is giving more than when it is receiving or getting. A receiver will always have an opportunity to be disappointed. A giver will always have an opportunity to be fulfilled. Does that make sense? If you are in a giving mode, you will never lack somebody to give to. If you are in receiving mode, there will always be a struggle to find people to get from. I don't know. Am I speaking Zulu? Am I making sense to somebody? So I discovered the best way of coming to church and never have a bad day at church is to come to church full geared to give and bless other people. And boy, there's always somebody I can bless. But when I come with the heart to receive, we're setting ourselves to a letdown and disappointment. Irregardless of where we go. Because what were we made for? Something far greater. Our lives were built and bent to be spent in Him and on Him. We get by letting go. We live by dying. Remember those guys in the Bible? It says they loved not their lives even to the point of death. Have we come to that point of loving Him to the point of death? Have we come to a point in our lives where there's nothing that really matters but Him? Here's the deal. Who believes God hears your prayers the moment you pray? The moment we pray, He hears us. Then how come the things we've been praying for years are not happening yet? Could it be probably maybe we've not surrendered our lives to the place where what we are looking for lines up with the prerequisite for getting what we're looking for? How many of us have ever prayed for revival? How many of us have ever given our lives for revival? So asking for revival is one thing. Giving yourself for it is another, because there is always a price to pay. I did hear, I think, Robert's lead and say, many people pray for revival, but what they want is not revival. What they want is a visitation. Because when revival comes, it takes and consumes your whole being every day. There's no life for you and for all the little twinklings you do. Your life is consumed and spent. And we don't want to do that. So what we want is a visitation. Where God comes, he dabs us, and he goes away, and we go and mind our own business. Who would believe that having 40,000 people within 12 months is revival? And how many of us have committed to that process to a point where it's cost us something? So then what revival are we looking for? Are we getting me? Ask anywhere. Where they've experienced 40,000 in a year. By all proportions, that's revival to me. But we fail to recognize what God is doing because it does not fit the context of what we are comfortable and happy with. Now, here's the thing. God wants to do things, and he wants to use us. I remember years ago when we were at Pitt Road. I would talk about the buildings and the vision and the things we could do. And about three occasions I said, if we do not rise up to cooperate with what the Spirit is doing, God will give this property to other people that will. Anybody remember me saying that? The point is, God is ever wanting to do something. If you don't rise up, he'll rise someone else. Because God is not going to stop the agenda of heaven so you can do your dishes and then come. And there's nothing wrong that we miss out, but there's a sense of feeling robbed that you didn't get to have an opportunity to touch God on the purpose and the destiny that he invited you to. Did I say 10 minutes? Maybe I should stop. And you all look miserable already. My heart is not to make you feel miserable. My heart is to challenge you for something greater than yourself. Because your life is meant to be spent on something greater than yourself. I remember last year when I went to Mozambique. Anybody remembers? When we are not fully engaged or disengaged, it becomes difficult to really appreciate that. Who remembers that when I went to Mozambique, I was actually going into an active war zone? And the chances of being shot and killed were very good. And I did receive a lot of wise counsel not to go, because you might get shot. But it got me to really evaluate myself. What is my life worth? What is your life worth? If anything, my life was meant to be given away for him. We don't have to go get to places where we can like get short, but the point by the end of the day, we gotta live for something greater than our brownies, cookies, tea and coffee, and our little family. Because we're created for something far greater than that. We were created to be spent on him and for him. And the more we try to preserve ourselves, the more emptiness we're going to come to. When I was in America with the gentleman we met, he says, 2,200 churches, what's that? What if the Lord wants you to have 3,000 churches in 1 year? And this is September. I'm thinking next year is quite a very good year to have 3,000 churches in 1 year. Not only in Africa, in Australia too. Because if what the Lord has been doing in you and in us is that great, then it's worth exporting to other suburbs, other towns, other states. So, I know what I'm going to do about this admonition or encouragement. What are you going to do about it? What are you all going to do about it? I think I choose to live for something greater than me. I choose to live for something greater than Nicole. Benjamin, I'm choosing to live for something greater than you. Pimpsqueaks, I choose to live for something greater than you all. And what I would encourage you, Benjamin, is for you two to live for something greater than your dad. For my wife to live for something greater than her husband. Then together we can have our lives spent for him and for the gospel. And the day that you and I learn to place that kind of value on the gospel is a day we're going to have people repenting and coming to salvation left, right, and center. The revival that will never end, that we've prayed for and we have prophecies about, that revival will never end. Anybody heard about it? That will cost you your life. But unless you're willing to surrender your life, politely, keep quiet. So, Those of you that are ready to be poured out for Him, you can stand. Only those that really want to be poured out. If each one of you came to church every Sunday with a heart to bless somebody, this place would never be the same. Did you know that? If you all came with a desire that I'm going to go to church today, like I've heard when Charles is in Africa, people don't even come to church. Come on, people, that's pathetic. You come here for Charles or for the Holy Spirit? So, if you could make it on your heart that for the next 3 weeks, Charles is not here, I'm going to go and be a blessing and fill the gaps of him not being there. That will change this church. If you came and say, I'm going to go and be a blessing to people in the church, those ones that come here for the first time, none of them would ever say, these people are very clicky and clacking themselves and inward looking and all that stuff. And nobody talked to me, nobody said hi to me, nobody gave me a muffin, all those usual rubbish we come up with when we come to receive and not to give. Would never be an issue. Can I ask you? Come look for somebody to bless. Come looking for somebody to touch. Come looking for somebody to give to. Above all, let's come with our all inner being, with a hard attitude. I'm going to spend myself and my life for him. Okay? Two things. For him, that is you soaking. For the gospel, that is you getting off your pillow. So usually we've done the half part, the for him part. Oh, I'm just cuddling up with Jesus. Yeah, it needs to be followed by you getting up. And go be the living embodiment of the gospel. Go tell it to somebody. This is not the evangelism program I'm talking about. It is about you manifesting and living your life for something greater than you. Okay? Spend your life for him. Yes, I spent my whole day soaking. Great. That's just half the equation. The next half is for the gospel, which means sinners aren't going to come in your soaking couch. You got to get off your soaking couch and find them where they are. Okay, now for me talking. So, thank you of you guys for standing and choosing that this is what you're going to do. If we, with our all hearts, follow this up, we'll never be the same. Now, can you tell God in your own words, Father, I hear your word. I hear your church to me. I'm choosing to respond to you. I am, from this moment on, choosing to let my life go for your sake and for the sake of the gospel. I want to be poured out. I want to be spent for you and before you. I want to surrender anything in my life that is taking your place to you. I choose to dethrone every power, authority, or thing that I've empowered in my heart to take that place of authority and to take that place of preeminence in my life. In your own words, tell him that. You tell him that. I'm not asking you to do something that I'm not doing myself. That's what I'm going to do. Father, we just want to live for something bigger than us. We want to live for something greater than our little corners. Because you created us to set the records in your spirit and in your glory. Incredible records like being crucified upside down like Peter. Incredible records like being cooked and fried in oil. Incredible records like being burnt on the stake. And these are the guys that valued the gospel far greater than they valued themselves. How about if you get short? What about your children? Well, I wasn't born to live for them. I was born to live for him. Lord, I just ask that you look on every heart that is surrendered, every heart that is given to you this morning. Father, we thank you, even just the opportunity that you've given us to be part of such a fast-growing movement. Father, we are honored to be a part of that. But also, Lord, in this hour, we don't want to hold back. Whether it is our time, our hearts, our finances, our resources, our commitment, we choose to let it all go to you and for you. And Lord, every one of them that are praying this prayer with sincerity and genuineness from their hearts, I ask that you give them the grace to walk out and live out the commitment they are making tonight or this afternoon. Give them the grace that where it's going to be hard and difficult, your Holy Spirit will give them the supernatural strength just to be able to do that. Where with all that is in us, we could say, Father, nothing else matters but you. It reminds me of Joshua when he says, choose today whom you shall save. But as for me and my household, we shall save the Lord. I think it is in our place of decision and choosing the Lord is making us, bringing us to. Amen. It is too limited to live for your job, to live for your business, to live for your work. It is just too limiting. Does that mean we don't have jobs? We have jobs, but the greater cause is above the jobs. Our jobs, our lives, our families revolve around the greater cause and not the other way around. So in Jesus' name, I speak the blessing of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit to mightily and greatly rest upon you. Amen. Now, look at somebody next to you. Ask them, did you really mean that? Okay. Now you tell them that from today, the rest of you are not talking. Look at them. From today, you be the change you want to see in this church. Amen. Awesome. I'm going to go pack up.